And here in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki. This is the Borough Report for Thursday. It's the 30th of January, 2020, and I'm joined in the studio today by the Borough Manager, Steve Giesbrecht, and the Head Librarian, Tara Alcock. Welcome to you both.
Hey, Joe.
Thank you for coming in. Today's topic is the Petersburg Public Library. Real quickly, before we get to that, while we have Steve here, I wanted to ask if you could give a real quick update on the pool reopening status, if you knew anything about when that facility could be back online. Steve, you have any latest info?
Sure, love to. We did find the leak. It was in a light fixture in the deep end of the pool. That has been fixed. The pool's been refilled. The lap pool's been completely filled, and heat is on, and it's slowly coming up in temperature. We're a little unsure when it'll be up to usable temperature at this point, but, you know, another week at least. We started filling the leisure pool last night, and it's filling as we speak. That'll probably slow down the heating process in the big pool a little bit, because all that water goes through the same set of boilers. We're targeting February 17th, as it looks like everything will be ready to go. We do have some repairs to do, but that'll happen at night and shouldn't affect when the pool opens. So, you know, knock on wood, everything stays the way it is. We should have it up and operational on the 17th of February.
Okay. All right. Well, and stay tuned to announcements here on the radio and Facebook and Borough's website and everything for when that will be back on, right?
Okay. Thank you.
Well, of course, that happened during the cold snap. That leads me into the library. Tara, how did the library fare through that cold week we had here in Petersburg? Is the library building fare okay?
Yeah, it did. Of course, it had to work a little harder because it was so cold. And there were a few little hiccups, but Sam Jackson, our maintenance person, does a great job helping us keep up with that. And then when things that require more technical expertise happen, we've been bringing in local contractors to help us solve those problems. So that's actually been going really well. We're going into our eighth year in the facility, so, you know, it shows signs of aging. But for the most part, we're able to keep on top of the things that need to be taken care of.
You do a pretty regular maintenance schedule there?
Yes,
okay.
We do.
All right. Well, what's the latest at the library? It's a busy place, and it's keeping people busy, which is great through the winter time. Lots of programs. We've interviewed about a couple of them just recently. The Reading Challenge, it looks like you're getting close on minutes there.
We are very close. I think we've got 30,000 more minutes to go by tomorrow, so I encourage people, if they haven't already signed up, it's pretty simple to do. We can always walk you through it, but it is really simple. Lots of people are reading. It's exciting to see how quickly it's gone up in the last few days.
Mm-hmm. That's great. People had some minutes stashed away. So
yeah, we set a lofty goal, but we hope we're going to meet it.
That's great. And also, the Viking Science Academy is Thursday. So this Thursday is the next one. We had an interview with Scott Burt. That's a great new program that's underway. So
we're so excited to have him teaching. Like, to have a PhD in biology actually teaching children's programming at the library is a pretty fortunate situation for us to be in. And I think this week he's doing the solar system.
Very fun. Yeah. Okay. So there's so many programs that happen at the library. You guys are a busy place. How do you juggle it all? Are you able to keep the groups that need library space all happy? And do you have to look at the policies about who can use different rooms? And how does that all work?
Actually, no, it's not. It's been, I would say, pretty well. We have the odd moment where, you know, everybody seems to want to use it at the same time. But for the most part, we seem to meet the need that's there, and we don't feel like there's waiting lists or too much competition for the spaces that we have, although they are fairly regularly booked up, definitely.
And it's free for everybody, for groups who want to use a space?
Periodically, the library board does discuss instituting fees. But, you know, our main user groups are community groups, nonprofits, government. And so it seems like this is a community facility, and so keeping it free for the groups that use it makes a lot of sense.
Okay. All right. But that does come up from time to time. Steve, have you asked them to talk about that? I know you've got your direction from the assembly to look at fees.
Yes, I did. And we've not looked at the library at this point for all the reasons Tara just said. And, you know, it's one of the buildings, one of the very few buildings that we can do that and keep it where people can use it. And, you know, and as Tara said, again, you're using a lot of nonprofit groups and educational groups that are important for the community. And, you know, we'll see what the assembly says down the road, but for now we're okay over there.
Okay, I understand. Even possibly the governor might be having a meeting on Monday at some point in one of the library rooms. That'll lead a segue to how did the library fare in the funding battles that happened last year and the budget cutting that happened at the state level? Did you see library funding cut from the state at all for any programs that you're connected to or benefit from? Or
Fortunately, no, we did not see any impacts from the cuts that actually came down. The cuts to the university were probably the ones that we were the most concerned about for a variety of reasons, but the main one being is that the library's catalog is held and managed through the Alaska Library Consortium, which is housed at UAA. And so that was under threat of some pretty significant cuts for a while, but thankfully that did not go through because we rely pretty heavily on them for their technical expertise there.
At one point, an online program was also threatened for a budget cut. Is it Online with Libraries?
It's also known as OWL, and OWL was on the chopping block, but our library does not receive any funding from OWL at this time.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, what else is going on at the library? You are you looking at staying pretty steady in terms of hours that you're open for next year? I know, have you started looking at your budget for submitting to Steve at this point? Or are you looking at increased hours, reduced hours? What are you talking about?
I am starting to work on my budget for the upcoming fiscal year. And my plan is to present a status quo budget to Steve for the assembly. So hopefully no increases, no decreases in our hours. Definitely no decreases as far as I'm aware. And in terms of increases, the library board did discuss, we had a request from a community member to potentially open on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And so the library board has given quite a great deal of thought over this, not just this year, but a couple of years ago when this came up before. Because, I mean, it's exciting to see that people seem to, you know, need us 7 days a week, not just 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's really not so much a question of, you know, convenience so much as it is a question of budget. And it would have a significant impact on our budget if we were to open on Sundays because we're already, we operate with a pretty light staffing level. And so 7 days a week would require a pretty significant increase to our budget. And so on Monday when the library board discussed it, they decided to not do it at this time.
Okay. And have you looked at just shifting the 2 days off on the weekend to two different days? Like if it was, you know, I don't know if there was a week, 2 day weekday closure and having that weekend time as staffed.
Well, right now it's actually only one day. Off, and that's the Sunday. And interestingly, Monday is one of our busiest days. So some libraries are traditionally open on Sundays, closed on Mondays. But for us, I think that would have a real negative impact on a lot of our users. So when we look at our usage trends, actually Saturday is one of our quietest days, interestingly enough.
Okay.
Yeah, people just aren't out and about the way they are during the week, I guess.
Go ahead, Steve.
If I could jump in. And I think it's really nice to have the library open during the week because, you know, we see a lot of traffic from kids after school and, you know, I wouldn't want that to go away. I mean, I think that's a pretty important part of our library is, you know, going over there, you know, 3:30, 4 o'clock and seeing how many kids are in there doing homework or, you know, reading books or hanging out with each other. And it's a great place for that. So
we just had the question called in by Jeff Mucci asking about the Sunday opening possibility. So hopefully he was listening and he addressed that issue. So overall trends at the library for patronage, are your numbers up or down in recent years? What's it look like?
Well, there's two metrics that we look at. We look at door count. And so over the last 5 years, our door count has been, since we moved into the new facility, pretty high, about between about 58 and 62,000 folks come in and out of the doors.
Each year. Okay.
So it's pretty high, but it accounts for about 180 visits per day.
Okay. And is that staying pretty stable or?
It's pretty stable. It kind of goes up a little, down a little, but it's pretty much on an average of 60,000. So that's been pretty consistent over the last 5 years. Our checkout rates have increased over the last 5 years quite a bit. Our checkout rates are remarkably high for a library. We found that our per capita circulation rate is about, and that's sort of each person in Petersburg, how many items are checked out for
assuming
each person.
Assuming that everybody in town goes to the library.
Which of course isn't true. Some people account for two or three times their per capita.
Yeah.
But the national average is 8, and we check out 27 items.
Okay. And that's so, books, audiobooks, everything you guys offer.
Everything that we offer. And so it's been on a steady increase for the past 5 years. But this past year, we saw it finally kind of plateau at a certain place. And I think that's to be expected. We can only keep going up with our population relatively the same in terms of our checkouts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there trends in people using different new offerings that you provide, like audiobooks or anything else that's available now that wasn't just a few years ago?
There are folks that use our Alaska Digital Library, but mm-hmm. it still accounts for a pretty small portion of our circulation. I think it's still probably under 3%.
Okay.
People really still are focused on books and DVDs. And I was just reading a report from the Pew Research Center before I came, and apparently that's consistent nationally. E-books particularly were, I think, forecasted to have a much larger impact on the publishing industry than they ended up having.
Okay.
There's a group of folks that certainly do use them, but print books are still have legs.
They do. I read both. I love my ebook though, especially for this time of year with the dark nights and, you know, lying around reading with that lighted screen. But traditional books still great. So what else are you offering at the library that's new or different?
I'm just thinking, you know, coming up, not necessarily new, but it's taken a break. Curiosity Creates is back. And this is a great class for grades 1 through 6. It's drop-in and taught by Andrea Weathers. Lots of fun arts, programming, and sometimes even science and engineering program go mixed in with that. And so that's back up this coming Wednesday. And we're excited to see that back. And that is partially funded by the library's Arts Education Endowment.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah,
what is that?
Our Arts Education Endowment was started in 2012 by John McCabe, and he was an elementary school teacher here in Petersburg. I'm sure lots of listeners either had him
years.
As a teacher or know of John. And
his art is all over town.
And his art is all over town, and he has a real passion for arts education. And so he was looking for a place to give back to the community and to establish a place where there would be sort of continual funding for arts education program for Petersburg. And we're very fortunate that he chose the library. And so we now have, thanks almost exclusively to John, a $100,000 endowment that sits with the Alaska Community Foundation. It's only just come over $100,000. That's a big milestone for our endowment.
Oh, it's an incredible mark.
It's an incredible mark. And so we can't touch the principal of that. But what we do is every year a certain amount of the interest is available for us to spend on arts programming.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we've done things like we fund Curiosity Creates. It's been seed money for the writing workshops that you see at the library. It has brought a basket weaver from Ketchikan to teach a workshop here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always looking for new arts education opportunities to tap into that fund to bring things to Petersburg.
Does the library board make the recommendations on how to spend it? So that
staff make recommendations, and then the library board approves it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So are you looking for more ideas, too?
We're always looking for ideas.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Incredible. That's amazing, that dollar amount. And, yeah. Well, are there other library things you want to bring up while we got you here, or are we missing any big topics?
I think one thing that's worth mentioning about the library is that while I'm here doing all the talking, there is really an incredible group of volunteers, board members, and staff that really make up everything that you see happening at the library. We're very fortunate to have great volunteers, generous donors. John is just one amongst many. And a staff that is just really creative and energetic and enthusiastic. So it's, it's really a group effort, all the things that you see happening at the library.
What's coming in the future for libraries?
Oh, for libraries in general?
Yeah.
Well, there's been a big shift in libraries just in the past 10 to 15 years, which has been exciting to see. We've really moved away from the book warehouse idea, and there's more focus on community spaces now. So that's what's great about our moving into our new facility when we did, is we really tapped into that new trend. And we see that with our facility more and more. It's a community space. The collections continue to be super important, but they really are balanced with this community need for a place to come, to get together, to do activities, just to for people to be with people.
Okay. And you do have some new things installed in the building. I just used the new checkout kiosk at the front, near the front desk there. That's great.
Yeah. So we had to replace our original one, which was installed when we moved into our new facility because it was on Windows 7. And so on January 1st, it became obsolete. And so we were lucky to get grant funding from the Petersburg Community Foundation and the Rasmussen Foundation, and we're able to replace that.
Okay.
And so as you've probably seen, it's a much nicer unit.
It's a lot very more easy to use, yeah.
It's very important for us because with, you know, 180 people coming through our doors, even if half those people check out, that's a lot of work for the front desk staff. And so that self-checkout unit accounts for a pretty high percentage of our checkouts, which is great.
Okay. Yeah. Are you getting new equipment of any sort in the near future, or are there other things? Nope. How about outside the building, landscaping, parks? Are there changes on the outside at all, or is it pretty static there?
For this year, there's nothing specific planned. We do have a gravel area out front where we do already have some funding in place to improve that, but no specific plans to do that this year necessarily, but there are definitely some great ideas out there about what to do.
Okay. And as you mentioned, people just do come there and hang out, and they use internet, which is a great service. Yeah. Are you keeping up with demand there for that use? Or?
Actually, yeah. And a few years ago, I'll admit we were not. It was really hard. It was sort of legendarily bad internet at the library. And so what was done was we replaced some of the equipment, things like routers. And we also installed an equalizer, which is something that just sort of balances out the traffic rather than just one person that's a heavy user coming in and sucking everything dry. It balances out for everybody what's available. And so what we found is that I think things are going pretty smooth.
Okay.
I haven't heard otherwise, but we are managing to keep up with demand and for a pretty reasonable cost because about 80% of our internet is paid for by a federal grant.
Okay. All right. Great. And then as a hangout space, this is something that Steve mentioned as a possible topic too. I mean, is it working? I mean, a lot of community members do use it as a place just to go to stay warm when it is super cold, or when they need a bright space to go and hang out. Is it working that way?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it definitely has its challenges sometimes. Not every moment is as perfect and smooth as we would like it, but for the most part, people really seem to respect the facility and they respect that it's a common space and behave accordingly. And so all sorts of different things can be happening there. And it's generally pretty peaceful and quiet. And when it's not, then we try and address that as quickly as we can just to keep it sort of comfortable and friendly for everybody that walks through the door.
And I know you just did a lot of big improvements on websites and stuff like that. You just had an intern in last summer to look at what could be boosted there. The website looks great, and that's something I use a lot too. I love the digital archive of newspapers too, mm-hmm. which is a great history piece here in Petersburg. You can go and search through those old newspapers for any topic you want and see, you know, the last 100 years or so of, you know, Petersburg history is right at your fingertips, pretty much, really searchable. So that's a great feature I like. Steve, any other input on library?
Well, you know, I was telling Tara before we started this, she's the last department head to go to be on the radio show until we
start again. All right.
And, you know, it wasn't anything against the libraries because there's just no drama. She does such a good job. Her and the staff do such a good job.
Knock on wood for you there.
Yeah, there we go. That, you know, I kept waiting for something bad to happen that she'd have to come on here and explain, and it just didn't ever happen. So kudos to her and the staff up there. They just do such a wonderful job at a great facility.
Okay, Tara, anything else you want to highlight?
No, I think we've done a pretty good job of covering everything.
Okay, well, I hope we have you on the air before a year from now, but if not, we'll have the next borough report in about a month from now, and I forget who will be back up, but we'll let you know. So thank you both for coming in. And coming up next, we'll be going back to our live coverage of the Senate impeachment trial.